It's Wednesday, the 6th of January, 2016. Happy birthday to Pat Connaughton and our saviour, Will Barton. To the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by moneyball.com.au and Friezelin. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to be a sponsor of the podcast, just like Friezelin, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes. It is really that simple, and it's significantly helpful to me. That was a poorly worded phrase, but make sure you get across there. If you've got a couple of minutes spare, and a couple of what I've really loved with the people leaving reviews is that people who have never left reviews for anything before have taken the time and made the effort to go and leave a review for the podcast. So that really means a lot to me. So thank you to everyone who has done that. It has been it's been awesome. So thank you very much. We are talking about the games from Tuesday, all four of those games. We're going to preview Wednesday's 11-game slate. There's a lot to get into, so
let's get to it.
The monstrous line of the night goes to DeMarcus Cousins of the Sacramento Kings. He was slumping, I think it's fair to say. A couple of weeks ago, people were a little bit down on him, thinking it wasn't worth the pick in the first round. He is destroying teams at the moment. 35-17 for Boogie. He hit two triples. He had four assists. He had six steals. He blocked a shot. He went 15-30 from the field. And he went 3-6 from the free throw line, so that wasn't great. He also had 10 turnovers, and that's something that has been an issue with him. Not so much this season. His turnovers are down almost a turnover a game this year as opposed to last year. But he has been he's been great. Over his last four games, he's actually the number one ranked player in eight category leagues. So that's how good he is turning, or how well he is turning on, how much he is turning on. What's wrong with my phrasing today? That's how well he's playing. Let's stick with that. He has been, in that last four games, 30 points, 14 boards, 1.3 triples, almost two assists, two steals, 1.5 blocks on 50-72 as his percentages. He's also shooting 36% from three over that time. He's 31% on the season. That's something that we've never seen from him before. He basically didn't hit a three at all over his previous five seasons in the NBA. This year, he's hitting over a triple a game. He is a triple one player this season at 1.1 threes, 1.3 steals, and 1.4 blocks. It has caused a drop in his field goal percentage, down from 47 to 43, and some might argue that trade-off's not ideal for fantasy, but he's still been great. He's currently still only ranked 17th on the season, so probably before today, you may have been able to get him at a discount. I know I was going back and forth with someone over Twitter about a trade involving DeMarcus Cousins, and I was saying, you have to have Cousins. He's the best player in this deal by a long way, and that person wasn't so sure about it. I'm big on DeMarcus Cousins, and I know he's got temper issues. I know he has injury concerns, but I think he's fantastic. I think he's going to be a real massive fantasy asset for years to come, and hopefully he's able to turn it into real life success on the court as well. But so DeMarcus Cousins was our monstrous line of the night. The waiver wire line of the night goes to Taj Gibson of the Chicago Bulls. Gibson played 38 minutes. He had 11 points, 14 boards, an assist, a steal, and six blocks. He also went 5-6 from the field and hit his only free throw. So significant value there. Obviously, the 14 boards and the six blocks is what drives his value. But a big night from Gibson. 38 minutes is also huge. He is going to take a hit when Joakim Noah comes back. We don't know how much. We don't know if it's going to render him useless. It might. But he's currently ranked inside the top 80 for the last month. And that's in 29 minutes. The last 2 weeks, when he's been playing 34 minutes, he's ranked 52nd. And he's not doing it in scoring. He's averaging single digits in points, but it's double-digit boards, two blocks, big field goal percentage as well, and really low turnovers if you're concerned about your turnover level. So Gibson has been a guy, or he is a guy, that has to be owned at the moment. That may not last. I would say that it probably won't last, especially with the emergence of Bobby Portis. Noah's going to take some minutes off Gibson. Someone has to get traded in this Bulls front court. It might not happen because the Bulls very rarely do a trade in season. I can't even remember the last time the Bulls did a trade. in the season at all, or at any time for that matter, apart from during the draft. They just do not trade, so it might be tough for that to get done, and that's going to limit Gibson's value. But for now, he's putting up superb numbers. He's owned in only 38% of fantasy leagues. That is way too low. That needs to be rectified. Go and have a look at Gibson. It doesn't need to be on your team, though. That's another thing that we need to get at. Yes, he's a must-own, but I don't think that... Well, he probably should be. But if you're punting field goal percentage and blocks, which I am in a lot of leagues, he doesn't give me much. He gives me 10 boards, and that might be useful, depending on the rest of the way I've got my team structured. But I might not need him. There might be other guys on my team who have more longer-term value. But he's someone you must look at. You must go and investigate and go, is he going to fit my team? Is this going to work out? And even if it's for only another week, maybe 2 weeks, there's definite value in Taj Gibson. The young gun of the night.
Porzingis.
Yep. Kristaps Porzingis played 32 minutes, getting back in business here, 17 and 11. He had a block. He went 7 of 12 from the field, hit all three of his free throws. Definitely wasn't his greatest night of the season, but he's starting to get it back going again after a couple of slow outings, averaging 31 minutes in his last three, 13 and 9, a 3, a block, 41%. He was hovering under 40 for a couple of weeks there. Good to see him back over 40. The free throws are never going to be an issue, and we need to get his steals back closer to 1 and his blocks at 1.9, which is what they're on the season. If he gets back to that, that value is going to recover. It was always going to ebb and flow, and the way he started off the season was a massive surprise that he was this good, but we know what his potential could possibly be now, so we know what to look out for. So I'm not worried if he has a couple of slump games. I'm excited when games like this come up. He's great. I love
Porzingis.
I don't even know what to say about him, really. He does so many things that are going to be very interesting for the next couple of years, or the next 10 years, hopefully. And like Boogie Cousins, he is a center who's pushing triple one value. 0.9 threes, 0.7 steals, and 1.9 blocks with 87% from the free throw line. That is fantastic for a guy of his size. The dud of the night, Kyle Korver. Wasn't a terrible night from Korver, to be honest. There wasn't anyone else in this four-game slate, though, who was highly owned that was worse. 12 points, 2 threes, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, but he went 4 of 14. He went 2 of 3 from the line. So, look, killed your percentages, no steals, no blocks. Not a horrible line, but definitely nothing great about it. And that field goal percentage was terrible. And that's a big reason why he got the dud of the night. As for his seasonal value, his last month, he's ranked 200th. He's given you 8.4 points and only 1.7 triples. That is down from 3 he gave you last year. His rebounds are down. His assists are down. He's shooting 32% over the last month. Yes, he's got potential. I don't think he's going to be that same guy as last year, though, at all. So if you expect him to bounce back to that, I think you're going to be disappointed. Can he get back inside the top 100? Yeah, there's definitely scope for that to happen. But in a 10-team league, I reckon I would have probably moved on a couple of weeks ago and got someone else in, because those elite threes at those high percentages, it just isn't happening for him anymore. And so many factors which I've talked about plenty of times. Injuries, old age, slightly different rotation, more responsibility for him on the wing. And it hasn't worked out for him at all, and not all that confident that's going to recover. We've seen 34 games from him this year, and he hasn't really been good in many of them. So that's a pretty large enough sample size to think that this decline could be legit and could be long-lasting. So Kyle Korver is your dud of the night. Now, before we go on to look at these box scores in a little bit more detail, what we're going to do is we're going to bring up the winning or the perfect lineup from yesterday for DFS based on FanDuel scoring and salaries. At point guard, Michael Carter-Williams, 43.6. It's always a good idea to play your point guards against the Bulls. And Darren Collison, when we heard news of Rajon Rondo being out, he was a great option. He put up 37.8. Obviously, when we did the pod yesterday, didn't know that Collison was out. But during the night, that's not Collison, didn't know that Rondo was out. During the night or day, whichever, wherever you're based, Rondo was out. So Collison got that starting job. And whenever he gets a starting job, he's worth looking at. At shooting guard, Aaron Aflalo was fantastic. Again, 38.4 points for him. That's 2 games in a row, a significant hot streak for him. He can get cold at any time, but when he's at that price and he's that hot, things could work out in your favor. And Marco Bellinelli continued his hot streak. Again, without Rajon Rondo there, Collison played pretty much exclusively point guard, didn't play any two, so more minutes for Bellinelli, more shots for Bellinelli, and with Omri Caspi out as well. He's continuing a pretty solid run of form here, Marco. At small forward, Carmelo Anthony, 49.7. A nice night from him against the Hawks. And Chris Middleton, 41.3, who's been pretty solid lately. And both those guys were relatively not easy plays, but guys that you could definitely see how it came to be. Pau Gasol at 50.7. And Taj Gibson at 42.3. So the two Bulls guys at power forward, the Bucks do allow power forwards to get big minutes. This was not all that tough to see. I think I mentioned both of those guys quite a bit in yesterday's rundown. And at center, DeMarcus Cousins, two in a row for him, 60-plus point performances, 65.4, just absolutely killing it at the moment. Boogie. Now, before we get into the box scores, I have to mention our sponsor for today's program, and that is SeatGeek. So thanks to the guys at SeatGeek for coming on board. The next time you're looking for tickets for an NBA game, you need to check out SeatGeek. It's the smartest way to buy and sell NBA tickets. It's my go-to app for buying and selling sports and concert tickets. If I had any sports tickets to sell at the moment, I'd be doing that. I actually went on and had a look to see what sort of tickets we could get for tomorrow's NBA games. Grizzlies Thunder, which I think is a pretty decent matchup in Oklahoma City. So anyone listening to this in Oklahoma City, you can get tickets for $17. And what you're going to see, because Kevin Durant's not going to play, you're going to see a Russell Westbrook show. So $17 to go see Russell Westbrook, you know, potentially put up a triple-double. I reckon that's pretty good value. There's some pretty good deals. There's actually some really cheap ones down in the 100 section as well. So make sure you're checking that out. That's just one game that I looked up. There's plenty of stuff on SeatGeek. It's easy to use. It's completely different from other ticket sites. It pulls every option from other major ticket sites into one place. Saves your time. Don't have to have multiple tabs open. Don't have to be browsing on different sites and comparing. It's all there in one spot. It shows you the full price of the ticket up front, never hides any fees, and gives you a ticket grade based on value to help figure out if it's a good deal or not. It's a great way to find underpriced tickets. Conversely, if you have tickets you can't use, SeatGeek helps you price your tickets on the site so you can quickly get rid of them to another fan. All you guys, all your listeners, get a $20 rebate off your first SeatGeek purchase. To get that $20 rebate, it's pretty straightforward. Download the SeatGeek app, go to settings, and click add a promo code. I know a number of you have done this already and tweeted pictures towards me of you doing it, and it's fantastic. All you need to do, enter promo code REDROCK, one word, REDROCK. As you can see on the screen, if you're watching here on the video, promo code is REDROCK. Then SeatGeek will send you $20 once you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the free SeatGeek app and enter the promo code REDROCK today. Very, very easy. Very straightforward. And I do encourage you to go and do that again. It's great when we can show sponsors the activity that you guys have had with the sponsors. And yeah, you were great with the other guys with No Halftime who sponsored the podcast throughout December. You've been great with Moneyball. And I'm sure you'll be great with SeatGeek again. It enables me to, you know, approach these sponsors. And when they approach me, you know, put up these numbers and go, look how loyal this listenership is. And how much they're willing to support. So thank you very much for doing that. All right, let's get into the action now. Let's get into the box scores. There was only four games, so let's bring them up now and see what sort of information we can get by just getting into them in that little bit of extra detail. The first game of the night was the Milwaukee Bucks and the Chicago Bulls. Big win for the Bulls. Michael Carter-Williams is in some pretty hot form at the moment. 20 points, a 3, 3 rebounds, 12 assists, 2 steals, and red-hot shooting. 9 of 14 from the field for Carter-Williams. Remember that time when he was benched and people were panicking? Look, that could happen at any time, but he is killing it at the moment. Chris Middleton is also on fire. 26, 4, and 7. A lot of assists coming his way, which is not something you really associate with Chris Middleton, or we didn't associate last season, but the assists are racking up for him this year. He also nailed 5 triples, and his slow start is clearly in the rearview mirror. And Giannis Antetokounmpo went 18-7-2 and added 4 steals and a block. So big nights from their big guys. The guy I'm a bit worried about is Greg Monroe. Just 29 minutes for Monroe, barely able to crack 30 minutes at the moment. 13-12, 3 assists and a steal on some pretty bad shooting, 5 of 18. His owner might be pissed and not happy with the minutes. I think that they will increase by another 2 or 3. See if you can go real low and see if you can buy low on him. But things are not going great for him. And it's because we heard a lot of people in the offseason don't love the fit for Monroe in Milwaukee, doesn't fit what they need to do. And all that stuff is correct, but he's still a better player than Johnny O'Brien, who played 19 minutes. I don't think that's debatable. So he should be getting some extra run. Now, Johnny O'Brien did play 19 minutes and went 6-4, and John Henson went 6-4 in his 19 minutes and blocked 2 shots. And as usual, John Henson just teases us with 20 minutes. It's just a 20-minute tease. And you look at it and go, well, that's lovely. I like two blocks. I like 6 and 4. Can he get 27 minutes? I don't think he's ever going to get 27 minutes. It just feels like it's never going to happen for John Henson, and it's real tough to hold on to him in a standard league. Jabari Parker went 11-7 in 34 minutes. Didn't provide much else. In fact, he hurt your percentages going just 5 of 12 from the field, and he's just a guy that it's real tough to own him in a standard league for me. I thought OJ Mayo was going to be in a pretty good spot here to put up a decent game. No Jared Bayless, and we saw earlier on this season when Bayless was out, Mayo put up big numbers. Not so much here. 20 minutes for him, 6 points and 3 assists. Not his greatest night, definitely. On to the Bulls, Pau Gasol, 26 and 11. He had 2 triples, 5 assists, 1 steal, 3 blocks, just putting up incredible numbers. And Jimmy Butler was also awesome. That is now 74 points for him in the last 2 games. 32 here, including 2 threes, and had 10 assists and a steal. Derrick Rose returned and wasn't terrible. And for Derrick Rose, that's probably the biggest compliment I could give him this year. 16 points, 6 assists, 8 of 17 shooting, and had a very vintage Derrick Rose spinning under the basket, layup, whatever you want to call it, a reverse layup, and it looked fantastic. I'm sure you see tweets and vines of it all over the place. He played 35 minutes, back in business. He is tough to own in fantasy, and you really do need to really pay attention to that field goal percentage, and that makes it hard if you're not punting that category. But if you are, he's got a lot of value because he's going to continue to get minutes. It's not like Kirk Heinrich or Aaron Brooks are good at all. So he's going to get minutes, and he's going to play. But is he able to produce? He's clearly not the man, though, in this team. Nikola Mirotic, he broke the mold for me today. He missed his first 2 shots, and Fred Hoiberg still gave him 29 minutes. That's massive progress. He had a triple one, 14 points and 6 rebounds, and that is perfect for Nikola Mirotic. Exactly what you want from him. He should be owned everywhere. Someone's going to lose minutes when Noah comes back, but I love that Mirotic is playing the 3, and I love that they're getting it to work with him playing 3. I thought it would be a disaster. It's been disastrous at times, but that's 3 good games in a row for Nico. And when your competition is Tony Snell, who's garbage, and Doug McDermott, who's a good scorer, but he's terrible in other areas, probably a worse defender than what Mirotic is, there's 30 minutes for him there. Now, maybe when Mike Dunleavy comes back, if he comes back, and that's still a question mark, that might impact Mirotic, but for now, he's got to be owned. Bobby Portis, 21 minutes for him, 8-8 with a steal. He is going to need a trade to really maintain 12 team league value. Again, with Noah out, he managed just 21 minutes. He needs 25 to 27 minutes to be standard league valuable. I might still hold. It really depends on who else is on the waiver wire, but if he's not popping 25 and 27 minutes off here, in this sort of situation when one of these guys is out, I don't see how he's going to do it when Noah comes back, unless a trade happens or some injuries happen, and that's not something we can really predict. And as I mentioned earlier, the Bulls do not have a history of trading guys mid-season. So that sort of, and you Bulls guys, you Bulls fans will know, it just doesn't happen. That's not what this front office does. So it might be next season where they're talking more Bobby, try that again. I don't think I want to call him Bobby. I want to go with Bob. Bob Portis. Just sounds more professional. I know that sounds dumb. It makes me sound like he's a guy who's a 45-year-old, works in accounts. Just going to sit down and see Bob Portis. Hi, Bob Portis. Terrible American accent. I apologize for that. But Bob Portis. Let's go with that. Who's the next game? The New York Knicks and the Atlanta Hawks. Spoke about Aaron Aflalo again, deciding he's the greatest player in the world now. 9 of 16 for 23 points, 37 minutes, 2 triples, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal. I don't buy into it. You can own him for sure, but he's going to hurt you more times than he helps you. Mallow was great here, 23 and 11, 7 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. Field goal percentage still not great, 8 of 22. Historically, that will come good, and that will be better for him, and that's going to only improve his value. Robin Lopez, 35 minutes. He's actually starting to get more integrated in this team, and that's great for him. 9-8, a steal and a block. I reckon you can own him in 12-team leagues now. It's definitely not a stay-away situation, because even if he goes to 25 minutes, he's still being productive. I would much rather that Porzingis just plays the 5, but Derek Fisher knows best, apparently. So those two are getting minutes and playing together. And they got the win here, and that's 2 in a row over the Hawks in back-to-back games. So a little bit confusing, especially from the Hawks' point of view. But Lopez is just getting it done at the moment, and it's worth a look. So is Jose Calderon. He played 36 minutes, only scored 7 points, but the 6 assists, a 3 and a steal, especially the 6 assists, it's super valuable. It's just really hard to find those sort of assist numbers on the waiver wire, and he is available on waiver wires. Now, the talk is that the Knicks are wanting to look to upgrade point guard. They're talking about, Derek Fisher was going around saying how good Jerry and Grant is. He's such a good player. And then said some weird shit about him in the locker room is not needs to understand he's not the man or something like that. It was weird. Grant only played 10 minutes. So for all the talk, we need to upgrade point guard. We love Jerry and Grant. He played 10 minutes. He's had one game over 20 minutes in about the last month, and he doesn't look like he's going to take it off Jose Calderon. So for now, Calderon, if you're looking for assists, it's going to be hard to find a guy who's a 4.5 to 5 assist potential guy that's sitting on a waiver wire, and he's that guy. Lance Thomas has dropped off significantly, and that's good because he's no good. 7 points in 19 minutes for him, and Langston Galloway down to just 16 minutes and went 6 points with 2 steals. Onto the Hawks. There's some weird stuff happening with this team and with Mike Budenholzer and his rotations. Dennis Schroeder returned to the lineup after missing those couple of games for no reason that we've ever been told. He played 25 minutes, 7, 4, and 8. So you love the 8 assists. But it's odd that he played 25 minutes and Jeff Teague played just 23. Shelvin Mack, who'd been the backup in the last 2 games, didn't play at all. Teague had 16 points with 3 threes and no assists. It's hard to own Schroeder in standard leagues, though, because this is probably his upside for minutes unless something happens to Teague. It's a decent line, but how often is it going to happen? Tim Hardaway Jr. was dusted off for his revenge game. He played 12 minutes and had 3 points, and the Knicks were probably saying, how come you couldn't be that productive for us? Zing. Kent Bazemore, 29 minutes, 15 and 5, 3 threes, an assist and a steal. Not his worst night. Not a great line, but it's still really productive and much better than anyone could have really projected at the start of the year. Al Horford, 13, 10, and 8, 2 blocks and a 3. That's more like it for Al. And Paul Millsap went 19 and 7 with 2 triples and a steal. Big Eddie Tavares in the rotation again with Tiago Splitter out. Played 13 minutes, another 2 block shots. In deep leagues, if you can see that a guy like Splitter is out and Tavares has overtaken Muscala as the backup center, that's 5 blocks for him in the last 2 games in about 24 combined minutes. He has shot blocking potential through the roof. He's going to be used a little bit more because it's not like Horford and Millsap are big, dominating, strong, rim-protecting guys. They get their shot block shots, no doubt. But Tavares is massive. He's massively long. He could carve out that 12 or 14-minute role and provide 2 blocks a game. That's not stupid. It probably is stupid. But for now, just take a peek in a 12-team league and see what goes down with him. Sacramento Kings and the Dallas Mavericks. Rudy Gay in 48 minutes went 31 and 5 with 3 threes. All these guys were helped out by the fact this game was a double overtime game. Darren Collison 14, 4 and 12 with 2 steals, and he was always going to be valuable with Rondo out. And Marco Bellinelli played 43 minutes. He's helped by Rondo's absence. He was helped by Caspi's absence as well. And then Willie Cauley-Stein went out too. So Bellinelli played 43 minutes, 14, 9 and 3, 4 triples, 3 steals. 5 of 17 shooting is not ideal. But otherwise, he was really good, and he's putting a really solid stretch of games together at the moment. Over the last 2 weeks, he's ranked 77th for 14 points, 1.7 threes. Doesn't do much else, though. A steal, less than 3 rebounds, 1.5 assists, 46% and 81%. So he's got some value, but it's not great. Now, he is averaging 20 points a game across his last 4 in 33 minutes. It is cranked up there. He's at 3 triples a game. And 1.5 steals. And that's where his value is coming from. But he's shooting exceedingly hot, 50% in those 4 games. He's a 41% shooter on the year. You'd imagine that would cool off. For now, if you're looking for some threes and some scoring, while Rondo's dealing with his back, and as Bob Vulgaris put out today on Twitter, that I think Rondo's, he was out because he was basically shitting his pants about getting hacked against Dallas, which happened the last time they played. Don't know if that's exactly accurate, but hey, Rondo's a pretty weird dude, so maybe that happened. So Bellinelli's value might be restricted a little bit moving forward, but his scoring's been fantastic, and he's giving you some threes. So he's worth a real short-term sort of add. Ben McLemore did play after being bothered with back problems in the last one. 19 minutes, 4 points, 3 assists, and 1 steal. Not a great night for him. And, of course, Quincy Acey started, because why wouldn't you start him? 12 and 6 for Acey with a 3 and a steal. He has very little fantasy appeal. Seth Curry played 36 minutes in this one. So they dusted off him. 6 points with 2 triples and 2 steals. That's a very, very mediocre output in 36 minutes. And he doesn't have really any fantasy value. The Mavericks, Darren Williams returned, started and played 43 minutes. Why wouldn't you after coming back from a hamstring injury? 25, 2 and 4, 2 steals and 3 threes. Let's hope there's no repercussions from this, but that moved JJ Barea back to a bench role, and he played just 23 minutes in a double overtime game with a guy returning from a hamstring injury. That's not a good sign for Barea's value moving forward. He can probably be, he can pretty much be done in all 12 team leagues. Ray Felton played 35 minutes. He had 7 rebounds and 5 points, but his minutes went up because Chandler Parsons lasted just 29 minutes due to him having a hip issue. Now, I'll say just 29, but it was a double overtime game. You would have thought he would have approached 35, 38 minutes if he had been healthy, but he had that hip problem and Felton got that extra run. Now, Parsons was looking okay, 10, 6, and 4 with 2 threes, but not his greatest night, but there was still scope for him to go a lot bigger than that, so that injury was unfortunate. Wes Matthews was great, 20 points, 4 assists, 2 steals, 2 threes, really turning it on at the moment, and another 17 boards for Zaza Pachulia, and then he threw in 5 steals as well. Really putting in some solid numbers this year. I'm going to say I'm a bit surprised. I didn't think he'd be this good, but I knew he'd have a lot of value, and he's putting up some fantastic numbers for fantasy owners. Dirk had 23 points with not a lot else, but JaVale McGee, probably the biggest shock here. He played just 17 minutes off the bench. He went 13-11 and had 2 steals and 2 blocks. He's looked decent in the games that he's played. I don't think he's in any danger of getting 25 or 28 minutes a game, nothing like that. But 20-team leagues, 18-team leagues, he's got a real knack of accumulating stats at a very high rate. So you got to look at him. Dwight Powell didn't play at all in this game, and that's telling for a guy who was playing quite well at the start of the season. McGee took all of his minutes here. He looked really active, great defensive numbers. Definitely something to keep an eye on in those deeper leagues. And if something happened to Zaza Pachulia, they got no option to play McGee, but to play McGee. So that would be a real interesting situation for our standard league, I think. The Golden State Warriors and the Los Angeles Lakers. Klay Thompson came out on fire, and that was basically game over from there. He finished with 36 points in 34 minutes, including 6 triples with a block. Great efficiency as well. Steph Curry, 26 minutes, and then left the game with that shin again. Now, the game was over, so we don't know if he didn't return because he couldn't return or if he didn't return because he didn't need to return. 17 points, 6 assists, 3 steals, and 4 triples for Steph, but he's going to be questionable for the upcoming games just because we don't know what that status is for him just yet at the time of recording. Harrison Barnes ramped it up to 23 minutes, 10 and 8 with a couple of steals. Nice numbers there. He's a guy that you look at in 12-team leagues for sure if he's still available. And Maurice Spates had his best game of the year, 12 and 10 in 24 minutes with a block, with Festus Ezeli still out nursing that toe. Now, Sean Livingston missed this one due to rest, so we saw some extra minutes go to guys like Ian Clark and Brandon Rush played those 33 minutes. So it's against the Lakers. Don't read massive amounts into what the Warriors did. As for the Lakers, there was no D'Angelo Russell. He was out with a sore throat, and Kobe was out with his sore shoulder. Jordan Clarkson led the team in scoring, 23, 5, and 2 with 2 triples. And really, that's about all the good news from there. Lou Williams had 10 points, missed every shot. Yep, 0 of 7 from the field, 10 of 10 from the free throw line. Not his greatest night. Meta World Peace played 25 minutes in this game. Tariq Black played 8 minutes. Did you forget he was alive? I didn't, because I look at this roster every day and go, why isn't Tariq Black playing? But he got 8 minutes. Ryan Kelly got 8 minutes. Larry Nance, and this is, again, time for some Byron Scott chat. The game's a blowout. Okay, you're not going to win. Just because Larry Nance is a starter, you don't have to pull him. What are you saving him for? Develop the kid. It's a blowout. Julius Randle plays 20 minutes. Give these guys run. You don't have to save these guys. What the hell are you saving them for? We better save them and get the backups in who have got no future with this franchise. Your team is terrible. Do not pull your developing players in a blowout. Let them play. Let them play. Any second of court time they get on the court in an NBA environment with NBA refs and working together is beneficial. What are you saving them for? He's a joke. Anyway, speaking of jokes, Roy Hibbert had 2 points, 5 rebounds, and a block. Very hard to own him in 12-team leagues, and by very hard, I mean you probably shouldn't be doing it. That's it for the games from Tuesday. It is time for an interlude in the program. Short break, play some music. I'm going to grab a drink of water, and then we'll be back to look at Wednesday's 11-game schedule. And that was Better Off Alone by Arcade After Midnight. Why do I never remember that song? But it's, well, not that song, that band. The band is, it's Trey Mauder, one of the great listeners of this podcast. You're all great listeners, but that's Trey. Trey's band. And Trey, I mentioned yesterday, you wanted to know what his role was in the band. He is backup vocals and he plays lead guitar. So that's Trey noodling along on the guitar in that song. So thank you to Trey for supplying us with that music. All right, let's look at these 11 games. The first one is the Indiana Pacers and the Orlando Magic. The Pacers are favored by 1.5. The total is 197. The Magic have been smashed in their last couple of games. Lord Alfred Payton is questionable with his ankles. I think it's probably unlikely that he plays it at this point. But regardless, I really love Victor Oladipo here. 5,700. He was going to start anyway, even if Payton was healthy. Put up 35.9 in the last game. 27-point average across his last three. Really underpriced if he's going to be a starter and get starters minutes. So I do like using Victor Oladipo here. Aaron Gordon, he projects really nicely in this game at 3,600. The minutes have been there for him, definitely, a 25-minute average across his last three. But it's really just a tournament and maybe hope because he barely touched it. He barely did anything in the last game, and that's not a good recipe for DFS success. So maybe in one of your many tournament lineups, you might want to throw him in there. 5,900 for Toby Harris. His salary has dropped. That's quite low. Not sure I want to get him in. 5,600 for George Hill. If he plays, I don't mind it. He's got a 30-point average across his last three. This is a nice matchup for point guards going against the Orlando Magic. And George Hill, I don't imagine his ownership would be that high, so he's a guy to take a look at. CJ Miles was battling a shoulder problem in the last game, so I don't think we want to get too excited about him. Paul George at 8,900, after a real slow stretch, has picked it up, almost averaging 47 across the last three games, fairly consistently as well. The Magic, not a tough defensive team for small forwards. He is at less than 9,000. You can get 45 points out of him. That is not a bad cash game and tournament option with Paulie George. Monte Ellis on the Pacers. If George Hill comes back, I think he drops down. He scored 33 in the game with Hill out. I think that drops down to, you know, mid to high 20s, and that's probably not enough at his salary. And Nick Vucevic at 7,500. Not a good matchup for him. In the doghouse, so to speak. Been pulled in the last couple of games. Not going to invest $7,500 in Nick Vucevic while Scott Skiles is Scott Skilesing. And Evan Fournier at $5,000, maybe in a tournament. We know he can get hot and can go big. This is not an overly difficult matchup for Fournier. So if Payton's out, I don't hate it, but I don't have a huge amount of confidence in it either. The big men for Indiana, Jordan Hill, Jan Mihinmi, Lavoie Allen, Miles Turner, very hard to use them. Jordan Hill is probably the best of the bunch, but they're stayaways to me. And Lord Alfred, if he plays, don't think it's really worth getting too involved with him. He's got a 7-point average across his last three games. And if you're not aware that that is bad, it is bad. The New York Knicks and the Miami Heat is up next. There is no spread for this game, the only game of the night without a spread at this point. And that's because Hassan Whiteside is doubtful. He has a knee bruise. Lou Amundsen is also questionable with back spasms. That's probably the reason why the spread hasn't been released, because Amundsen is not definitely playing. So just check Lou's status to make sure that he's in the game before you go and throw some hard-earned money down on this one. But with Whiteside out, Bosch projects to play more centre. We'll see more Tyler Johnson, which is what we saw in the last game. He's priced at 4,000. He's not a bad guy to look at in a tournament, even though the Knicks do defend point guards pretty well in terms of their fantasy points allowed. He won't play a huge amount of point guard. He'll play some more two, and that might benefit him. So he's worth a look. 22.6 in the last game, where he played 36 minutes in place of Whiteside. Robin Lopez, 4,100. If there's no Whiteside, I like him in this one. Look, there's always the risk that he gets pulled, but he's got a 26-point average across his last five, and at 4,100, that's enough to go. That's over 5x value, and he's done it pretty much most nights over that stretch. So he's someone to look at. Goran Dragic is playing better, and he's under 6,000, so that makes him marginally appealing, but I reckon you can, with 11 games on, you can do better. Kristaps?
Well, then just
6,200. He put up 32 today, as we spoke about earlier. Don't really think that this is a great spot for him against Bosch. Justice Winslow, nah. 3,500 is appealing, but he just doesn't do anything stats-wise. Dwayne Wade, 7,300. It's pretty expensive. Don't think that I want to use him. But Bosch at 7,900. If Whiteside is out, I think Bosch makes a really good play. He almost dropped 50 in the last game. He's averaging 38 across his last five. Without Whiteside there, he'll play some more centre. He should get more rebounds, more block shots, hopefully. I think he's in a good spot. And Mallow at 8,600 has been putting up pretty solid numbers. A low score of 31.9 across his last five is not a bad floor. Almost 50 in today's game. Not a tough matchup. Also, no, a break-even sort of matchup in terms of fantasy value against the Heat. I do like using Mallow here. Jose Calderon at 41. Not an exciting play, especially against the Heat. They do shut down guys, so I think you can do better than using him. And Aaron Aflalo at 4,600. That's a pretty low salary for a guy who dropped 38 in the last game and was about 40-plus in the game before that. In his last five games, though, he's had a three-point game. So he is very, very up and down. And if something doesn't go right, then there's no safe floor. So it's more of a tournament option for Aaron Aflalo. The Heat are pretty good, though, at defending the perimeter, so I'm not rushing to go and get him into a lineup. The Washington Wizards and the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Cavs are favored by 7. The total is 199.5 for this one. Nene apparently is back after being left for dead. He's looking to return. Gary Neal is most likely out with his whatever he's got happening, back, quad, all his numerous injuries. He's likely out of this one. So Ramon Sessions at 4,300, with Brad Beal out, with Gary Neal likely out. I talk about this a lot, that Sessions just continues to have this solid value. He's basically 22 points every single night. You know what? Because I talk about this a lot, and I never actually say what his numbers are. So let's bring him up, and let's see what his game log looks like. Okay, Ramon Sessions' last seven games. 22, 23, 25.5, 22.5, 20, 24.5, 23. That is significant value. In terms of his value to salary, 6x, 6x, 5x, 5.5x, 6x, 5.5x, 5x. It's just really consistent. And you get 27 minutes, he'll give you 22 points, and at 4,300, I think you're going to get 5x value from him again. And the Cavs do allow points to point guards. Worth a look. I like Tristan Thompson at 4,700. He is starting. He's getting 30-plus minutes. He dropped 27 in the last game. I think that he can give you 5x value here as well. All he needs to do gives you 25 points. He gets 14 rebounds. He's very, very close to getting that already. LeBron at 9,700. Yeah, just not doing it for me at the moment, LeBron. I would rather spend, if I'm spending 9,700, I will take 9,900 and take John Wall instead. He's averaging 44.5 across his last five games. LeBron's averaging 36. Wall is the guy that, if I'm spending 10,000 in this game, it is going to be on him and not LeBron. Kevin Love at 7,400. Not all that intrigued with that one. Iman Shumpert, J.R. Smith. Now, J.R. got hot in the last game. Don't expect that to be something that happens all that often, so I'll leave him alone. Kyrie Irving at 7,600. I'm just not willing to invest in him at this point. At 7,600, he needs to give you 37, 38 points to be 5X. I just don't trust him yet until he consistently gets 32, 33 minutes. Now, he dropped 43 in the last game, which is fantastic, and he looked like old Kyrie, but still, not loving it. Otto Porter at 5,900, not a superb matchup for him here, and he was very quiet in the last game. He had been red hot prior to that. He has a tournament upside, but that's really about it for him. And Marcin Gortat at 7,000, cooled off slightly. I don't think this is a great spot to go and play him. Garrett Temple is always the one in a tournament that you think the minutes are there for him. 41 in the last game, 21 fantasy points. Just doesn't do it enough, and the Cavs, you know, no, just no, Garrett Temple. Detroit and Boston, the Celtics are favored by 4. The total is 201.5 points. Isaiah Thomas was dealing with some sort of thumb issue. He looks, I'm sure he'll be ready to play. RJ Hunter is ready to go as well, but he won't have too much of an impact. Fantasy value-wise, Kelly Olynyk is the appealing one here. At 4,300 in a tournament. Didn't get it done in the last game, but he played 34 minutes, and that's one of the most encouraging things. It's hard to rely upon him in a cash game format, but we know that 35, 40 points is his upside, and at 4,300, that's significant value. So in a tournament, love building some lineups around him. Evan Turner at 5,700. He is a pretty solid cash game play, I think. At 5,700, with Avery Bradley out for the next couple of games, he's pretty much going to give you 28, 29 points. He's going to get close to, yeah, that's 5x value, but consistently at 5x value. He's putting up some nice numbers. I really like Evan Turner here, and that's a really hard sentence to say. Marcus Morris at 5,200. Nah, don't think so. Just hasn't been getting it done of late at all. 9,200 for Andre Drummond, though, is interesting. 39 average across the last five, but the Celtics allow big men to go big. This is a 50 spot for Drummond. The salary's dropped to 92, so I'm confident, or a bit more confident in using him. And I say the same thing with Ersan Ilyasova, who's only at 5,200. He does have 30-point upside. Again, a nice matchup against the Celtics. His minutes have been up, averaging 31 across his last five. Could he give you 30? I reckon this is a big chance for him to do it here. 8,100 for Isaiah Thomas. It just feels too high for me, with the possibility that Kentavious Caldwell-Pope switches onto him, so I think we'll leave him alone. Reggie Jackson at 7,200, not against the Celtics. And same thing obviously goes with Brandon Jennings, who played well in the last game, and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Now, the Celtics are without Avery Bradley, who's a good defender, but what do they do? They just put Marcus Smart there instead, who's probably as good, if not better, as a defender. So, yeah, those Piston guards, I think we can leave them alone. 6,200 for Jay Crowder. His salary's risen slightly, but not enough. He is dominating. He's averaging 34 across the last three, almost 31 across his last five, putting up big numbers. Now, this is not a great matchup for small forwards, but he's not matchup proof. He's not at that level yet, but he's putting up good numbers, so he has to be someone that needs to be considered. As does Amir Johnson, who's starting to play a little bit better. At 4,400, he dropped 27 in the last game. Probably not against Andre Drummond, probably not the right spot to use him, but he's someone to consider moving forward. And if he has a big game against Andre Drummond, then you get even more on him. The Raptors and the Brooklyn Nets is the next game. I don't think Damari Carroll is going to play with that knee thing bothering him. And Joe Johnson missed practice with a quad issue, and he is currently listed as questionable. Now, if Joe Johnson doesn't play, Bojan Bogdanović at 4,400 becomes even more of a play than what he currently is. He's got a 28.5 point average across his last three. Bogdanović at 4,400. If Johnson's out, I'm all for using him. And then Wayne Ellington at 3,800 becomes a significant tournament play. He's had a 37-point game just in these last five, and he would get extra run. He'd push towards 30 minutes if Johnson is out. He is a guy to watch. Shane Larkin at 4,300. He let us down in the last one. Going against Kyle Lowry is not an easy task, but he's only at 4,300. If he gives you 25 fantasy points, it's a win. Not overly keen on using him just because he is a bit hit and miss, but in a tournament, it's worth looking at. 3,700 for Corey Joseph. Point guards feast on the Nets, and he is at a very low salary. If he gives you 20 points, that's a big win. And with Carroll out, there are some extra wing minutes to go around for Corey Joseph. I'm not all that keen on it, but I can understand if you've gone big in other areas, get a guy sub 4,000. He's worth a look. As is James Johnson, who will likely start with Carroll out. 3,500 for Johnson. Minimum salary, terrible in the last game. Just 7 points, but he's had a 27-point game in his last five, and that's not that long ago. Brooke Lopez against Jonas Valanciunas. Both guys, I think, are similarly valued. you have to pay $3,000 more for Lopez, but you'll get significantly more points. He's got a 45-point average across his last three games. Valanciunas is not a great defender. This could be a really nice spot for Brook, and Valanciunas is starting to get going as well. 26 across his last three is an average. 5,600 is not a big salary. Could this be a game against Lopez, who's not a noted defender, where Valanciunas goes and has 16 and 10? There's a possibility there. So both those centers are in play. Terrence Ross at 3,900 is also in play. He should see some extra run, get close to 30 minutes, I think, and he can get hot and go big, but he's strictly a tournament option. Thad Young at 7,100, he'll absorb a lot of usage with Joe Johnson out. At 7,100, I'm definitely okay using him. Dropped 48 in the last game. And 8,900 for Kyle Lowry. He's a 44-point average across his last three. The only thing that potentially is hurting him is a blowout factor. But at 8,900, he feels like he's a lock for 40-plus points against this team, which is pretty terrible. 8,200 for DeMar DeRozan. He's slumping a little bit. 28-point average across his last three only, which is clearly not very high. But it doesn't get much tastier going up against the Nets in terms of value for shooting guards. So could he have a 40-point game here? There's a pretty good chance of it. I mentioned Ellington already. And Joe Johnson would be worth looking at 5,200 if we knew he was playing. He's been really good in the two games that Jack has been out. The Dallas Mavericks and the New Orleans Pelicans are up next. The Pelicans are favored by 5. The total is 207 in this one. Quincy Pondexter could return. He is listed as questionable. Tyreke Evans is also listed as questionable, suffering that knee tendonitis. Evans has not practiced the last two games, but they seem to think that he's going to play, which seems weird to me. So don't be shocked to see Tyreke out, and don't be shocked to see Quincy in. Chandler Parsons from the Mavericks is questionable with his hip problem, so he's someone to pay attention to. If he is out, Ray Felton gets the bump there. Norris Cole at 4,400. Can't believe I'm going to say this, but I actually really like Norris Cole for this slate. He's averaging over 31 points in his last three. The minutes have been up there as well, inexplicably in my mind, but they have been. At 4,400, and if Tyreke's out again, Norris Cole against the Mavericks, which is not a difficult matchup, definitely worth a look. Definitely. 4,800 for Eric Gordon. That's pretty cheap. If Tyreke's out, I like it. If he's not out, I don't. And 5,600 for Drew Holiday, just not getting it done consistently enough. Yeah, some extra run definitely, or some extra ball handling if Tyreke is out again. Cole, Gordon, and Holiday all get a bump if Evans happens to be out. 10,200 for Anthony Davis. Could he go for 50 here? Going up against Dirk, I think he's a pretty decent shot at it. And who else have we got to look at here? Wes Matthews, he's been playing very well. 5,100 for him. Not a bad option, but I reckon you can do better than using him. Much like I think you can do better than spending $6,900 on Dirk Nowitzki. 62 for Darren Williams. The Pelicans backcourt is a mess. He just played 45 minutes coming back from a hamstring. Back to back, not sure he gets a huge amount of run here, so I'd probably steer clear. And Mr. Consistency, I talked about, who was the guy? Ramon Sessions in terms of consistency earlier. Let's bring up Zaza Pachulia's game log and have a look at his consistency. He dropped another 36 points today. He's at 6,600. That salary has risen, but can he give you 35 points? His lowest score in his last five is 33. I reckon that he can give you a real solid floor. Let's look at his last six games. 32, 33.5. Sorry, I'll give the exact numbers. 31.9, 33.6, 33, 33.1, 33.8, 36.4. Value-wise, 5x, 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 5.5x. It's just remarkably consistent. Remarkably. And Pachulia is a guy that, it's only 6,600. The percentage against the Pelicans, there's big numbers to be had there. Now, he played a huge amount against the Kings, but the other thing is his backup, JaVale McGee, played more minutes than he's been used to. So I reckon that Pachulia is probably going to be better suited to handling that extra run than what McGee is. So look for him to get his 30 minutes again and put up 30 points. Let's hope so. JaVale McGee was great at 3,500. He put up 34.2 points, so that was awesome. Do you use him? Maybe in a tournament. But again, the Pelicans front court makes me go, oh yeah, maybe. But I think it's hard to imagine him going for a double-double with two steals and two blocks in 17 minutes again. But maybe that's just me. The Denver Nuggets and the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Timberwolves are favored by 3.5 here. The total is 203.5 points. Emmanuel Mudiay is possibly returning for this game. He's missed basically all of December. Kenneth Faried is also probable. He was dealing with some neck soreness. He will play. Yusuf Nurkic is going to have his minutes increased, so that's good. He played 14 in the last game and looked awesome. And Nikola Pekovic is questionable to return. Nikola Pekovic last played in March. I don't imagine he's going to have much fantasy impact, but he could take minutes away from Gorgui Dieng or Karl Anthony Towns. And as dumb as that sounds, remember who the coach is. The coach is Sam Mitchell, so dumb shit is going to happen. Hopefully he takes the minutes away from Adrian Payne and from Kevin Garnett. I don't imagine him getting big minutes, but it's a situation to monitor if he happens to play. Zach LaVine has been brutal, like just terrible. He's averaging 10 fantasy points across the last 5 games. This matchup looks beautiful for him, and at 4,300, that's appealing. But Jesus, you can't put any sort of value on him. You can't put any trust in him. Maybe in a tournament, I'll go, maybe Sam Mitchell does the right thing, but it is not looking good for LaVine at the moment. Karl Anthony Towns at 7,500 was bad against Philadelphia. I think against Denver, this is a nice spot for him to have a bounce back game. And he did that last time after getting beaten by Okafor. He put up a pretty big game in the games following that. Gorgui Dieng at 5,000. Bit worried that Pekovic might take 4 or 5 minutes off him, so I'd probably steer clear there. Rick Rubio at 7,600. Not a nice matchup for him. His production's cooled off a little bit. That salary feels too expensive. And 6,600 for Andrew Wiggins feels marginally expensive as well. He needs to be a 32-33 point guy, and his high score in his last 5 is just 32. So he's just not quite at that area, despite the matchup being a nice one for him. Will Barton. Happy birthday, Will Barton. 7,300 for Will. Birthday bump. Shit game the last game before bump. Things are working in Will Barton's favour to have a pretty nice night here. The Timberwolves against shooting guards are pretty lenient. He's had a 46-point game in his last 5. He's got a 34-point average in his last 5, despite scoring just 9 in the last game. He is at 7,300, so you need him to go for over 35, but this is everything sort of pointing towards Will Barton being someone to look at. Yusuf Nurkic at 3,900. It might sound dumb to go and use him, but he put up 23.6 in the last game in just 15 minutes. And if his minutes are increased and they go to 20, could he give you another 23 points, which is over 5x value at 3,900? Yes, I don't think he's got 7, 8x, and that's something that'd be great in a tournament. And it's a bit hard to use him in a cash game, but, you know, I can understand throwing him in there and hoping for the best. 7,100 for Danilo Gallinari. He's been great since coming back from his ankle problem. 35.5 point average across the last 3 games. Pretty nice spot for him here. I don't mind using it. He's relatively consistent with what he does. Nikola Jokic and Joffrey Lavernier, don't think we'll really look to use them. With Emmanuel Mudiay coming back, I'm not going to be using him, and it's going to really cut Jameer Nelson's value down. He's at 5,500, and he's been great, but while Mudiay probably won't start and probably won't play 28 minutes, he's going to play 20 or 18, and it's going to take some of them away from Nelson. So very hard to recommend using him. The Utah Jazz and the San Antonio Spurs. Normally, you'd look at this and go, this is just brutal for fantasy purposes. The Jazz aren't favored. The Spurs are favored by 16.5. The total is 186. It's a very low total. But Tony Parker is out. Derek Favors is out. Jeff Withey at 4,700 looks great. He's averaging 30.5 points across his last 5. Consistently giving you 30 points. Yes, it's against the Spurs, but at 4,700, if he gives you 25, it's 5x right there. I do like him. Patty Mills at 3,800 is definitely worth a look at a flyer. He played 28 in the last game, though, and didn't crack 20 fantasy points, so that's a little bit concerning. He's worth a look, though. Kawhi at 85, that just feels too expensive in this matchup. Nothing else really stands out. Danny Green was terrible in the last game. Tim Duncan, he could sit. Rod Hood, maybe. He's the other guy. Rod Hood, 5,600, averaging 39 across his last 3. That salary hasn't caught up, but is he going to have Kawhi on him? He's going to have Danny Green on him. That's the concern. Now, that makes me not want to use Gordon Hayward at 7,600. At 5,600, I'd consider Hood, but I would probably steer clear because he could go down and have 17 points, 18 points, and get nowhere really close to returning his value. If he was at 4,000, 4,400, I'd go, okay, throw him out there, see what happens. But at mid-fives, that Danny Green-Kawhi Leonard combination does worry me. The Charlotte Hornets are the latest team that gets to feast on the carcass of the Phoenix Suns. The Hornets are favored only by 3, and the total is 206 because there's a few injuries in Charlotte. Jeremy Lamb is doubtful with wrist and hip issues. Jeremy Lin is probable with an ankle, and Nick Batum is questionable with a toe. Lamb looks like he's going to be out. Batum had been upgraded from doubtful to probable, so that's a good sign, and you'd say that Lin is going to play. If with Lamb out, Lin's going to get extra run. If Batum's out, Lin is a must-play guy. 5,300 for Lin. I think that he could easily smash 30, 34, 35 points if both of those guys were out. He's worth looking at. And against the Suns, they're terrible against guards. They're terrible in general, but they're really terrible against guards. TJ Warren at 4,300 on the Suns. Who knows what wrong decision Jeff Hornacek's going to make next. Warren went from putting up 52 fantasy points to putting up 1. Inexplicably moved to the bench. Who knows? You can't rely on him in a cash game. Same with Devin Booker at 3,600, who is at a real low salary and it's very appealing, but who knows what's going to happen with these guys' minutes. Same goes with PJ Tucker. All these guys, 4,300 for Warren and Tucker, 36 for Booker. They're worth a look in a tournament, but in a cash game, no thank you. 6,700 for Brandon Knight, that's a cash game play. 35-point average across the last 3, dropped 40 in the last one, the only guy with any consistency. Tyson Chandler, Alex Len, John Lua, Mirza Teletovic. Well, actually, Teletovic has been consistently good. 25 points at 3,900, he's worth looking at. These other guys, they're too all over the place. No thanks, I don't want anything to do with them. Kemba Walker at 8,700. It's so expensive. So expensive. Can he go for 45 points, 43 points? Yes, against this team, and he's averaging 45 across his last 5, but it's a bit of a risk to take. I'm not all that keen on using Kemba, despite how good a matchup it looks for him. Batum, if he plays at 7,400, I think would be a really good spot for him. That's only 7,400. That's got 40 points written all over it for him. And 4,700 for Cody Zeller? Yeah, probably not. He can get close to that, but I don't think his upside to surpass it is really all that great. The Memphis Grizzlies and the Oklahoma City Thunder. Talked about this earlier in terms of getting your tickets from SeatGeek. The Thunder are favored by 5.5, and the total is 199.5. Kevin Durant has been ruled out. He's listed as out on the Thunder's injury report. That could change, but at this stage, expect no KD. So, Russell Westbrook, 10,700. Is this a 50-point outing for Westbrook? I'd have to think that it is, and I think that he makes a very good investment of 10,000 FanDuel dollars. Serge Ibaka should also see a bump. At 6,500, he dropped 44 in the last game. He is also someone who's going to have to take on some extra responsibility. And Anthony Morrow at 3,600 put up 23 in KD's absence in the last game. It's not great, but at 3,600, it's plenty. Mike Conley at 65 and Mario Chalmers at 43. Both of these guys actually have some appeal because Westbrook is an easy matchup for opposition, especially when Durant's out. He has to focus more on offense, less on defense, and opposition point guards can do more. Now, Conley's been struggling, so I'd probably fade him, but Mario Chalmers is not a bad tournament play at 4,300. He can give you 25 points, perhaps. I reckon he can do better, but not terrible, especially considering the Westbrook factor. Campaign is actually, he's averaging 17 points across his last 3, and at 3,700, it's not far off being a real, real cheap option. I probably wouldn't, and I'm sure that I wouldn't, but he's someone to look at. Steven Adams, 24-point average across the last 3 at 4,200. Maybe, but probably not, is more accurate. Matt Barnes, Tony Allen, Jeff Green, I'd leave all those guys and maybe put him in a tournament. Same with Zach Randolph at 65, who dropped 51 in the last game. The chances of him dropping 51 again in this game are fairly limited. I think that's best to say. Last game of the night, the Portland Trailblazers and the Los Angeles Clippers. The Clippers are favored by 4 points. The total is 205.5. Let's have a look at these injuries for this one. It's really just Wes Johnson, who is got a foot issue that he's dealing with, and Paul Pierce, who missed the last game due to rest. DeAndre Jordan at 7,900. Blazers front court bump is big. He dropped 40 in the last game. He's looking at 40, 45 in this one, I would say. So hopefully a big night from DeAndre. Myers Leonard, Ed Davis, Mason Plumlee. No, there's just no consistency with any of these guys. They're priced pretty well, but they're doing absolutely nothing of late. And against Jordan, not a good spot. $9,000 for Chris Paul. Feels probably a little bit expensive. I reckon you can do better than him. I like JJ Redick at $5,000, though. The Blake Griffin bump for him is nice. And Cole Aldrich at $4,000. Nah, no thanks. Despite him putting up 21 in the last game, it was a blowout against the Philadelphia 76ers. $8,800 for Damian Lillard. That feels way too high for me against Chris Paul. And $8,200 for CJ McCollum. Not sure I really want to get him out there at that salary either. There are better options out there. Really very limited in fantasy value in this game, I think. Not just him, but the game in general. All right, SeatGeek got extra promo time on the video there. Didn't realize I still had that up. Now we're going to talk about the DFS plays for the day. At point guard, Norris Cole, $4,400. Jeremy Lin, $5,300, assuming he plays, obviously. And Russ Westbrook, $10,700. Shooting guards, Devin Booker, tournament, $3,600. Victor Oladipo, $57. And DeMar DeRozan, $82. At small forward, TJ Warren, $4,300. Tournament, Evan Turner, $5,700, and Paul George, $89. Power forwards, we go with Tristan Thompson at $47, Serge Ibaka at $65, and Anthony Davis at $10,200, and the centers, Jeff Withey at $4,700, Karl Anthony Towns at $75, and DeAndre Jordan at $7,900. We are done for today's podcast, guys. Thanks to everyone who's subscribed and left a review. Thanks, it means a lot when you guys do that. Subscribe on YouTube, subscribe on iTunes, subscribe on Stitcher, subscribe wherever you need to. Go and follow on Blog Talk Radio and the podcast over there as well now. Follow me on Twitter at @RedRock_Bball and Basketball Monster at @BaskMonster on Twitter. Go and check out what they are, what we are doing over at Basketball Monster on the Twitter account and on the website. And of course, Hardwood Paroxysm, where there's some great podcasts going up and great articles always being churned out over there. We are done for today's show, I hope there's more than one person listening. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.